time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. Good morning on this Saturday morning. I'm your host, Dajon Hughes, and we're about to run through an hour's worth of the sports happening across the state of Michigan and some of them happening across the world that involve athletes from the state of Michigan. This is what we do every single weekend starting at 10 a.m., making sure you know everything happening around the Mitten, and that's what Mid Madness is all about. This week, there is tons to dive into. The college basketball scene is right where we want it to be. We're on the outside looking in. March is right there, which means conference championships. Those tournaments are about to pop off. And then the big dance, the NCAA tournament, March Madness is right there in the making. Teams are starting to find out their projected seeds. Bracketology is at its all-time high, and everyone is trying to make those last-second pushes at the end of the season to prove why they should be in the tournament and what seed they should get to try and ultimately raise the national championship for men's Division I basketball. And, well, Michigan and Michigan State both have phenomenal chances of making that happen, but I think one team has a little bit better chance than the other. Coming out of the All-Star break, we also got to talk about our Detroit Pistons. They were back in action this week after seeing some success over the All-Star break, which we'll talk about as well. And, of course, we got to talk about their first game back. And then we'll get into the Red Wings, who are still on hiatus, but will be getting back into action pretty soon once the Olympics are over. So we'll talk about the Red Wings that are in the Olympics and other Michigan stars playing in the Olympics and how well they are doing over there before we get into more action with the Red Wings, before obviously getting into our picks to round things out, because, well, it's almost time to start a new rendition of picks. Or no, sorry, we did just start a new rendition of picks last week now that football is over, and maybe I didn't quite have the start that I wanted to, and maybe you started off a little bit better than I did. But now that we have gotten through the obligatories of what is happening, I'm doing fantastic coming into this week. Michigan is making me a proud Michigan fan, and multiple reasons to be a proud Michigan fan. Also, lacrosse is off in full swing. All three divisions for both men's and women's in the college ranks. The pro ranks are about to start their off-season tournament in a couple of weeks as well. And then you have the inside pro game, which is in the middle of its season and honestly getting prepared for the March to May when things really pick up in their playoff race as well. So I'm feeling absolutely fantastic, and hopefully you are as well. We're about to get into the exciting part of the show. We'll open things up with the best team in the country when it comes to men's college basketball. The Michigan Wolverines are 25-1 on the season. They are 15-1 in the Big Ten. They have the lone lead in the Big Ten, a two-game lead over Illinois, who's 13-3. Michigan is 15-1. Their lone loss in the conference comes to Wisconsin way back in December, January, a 91-88 loss for the Wolverines. Everyone else, not even really close. They were coming off a win against UCLA. I think that game might have been Saturday. Let me check that for you. Yeah, this game was Saturday, so we'll jump right into it. Michigan does what Michigan does against inferior teams. They went out and beat UCLA by 30, led by Yaxel Lannenborg, who had 17 points and 8 rebounds on 4 of 8 shooting and 7 of 10 from the free throw line. Elliot Cadeau also had 5 assists and just 1 turnover in his 26 minutes of play in this game. Trent Perry led the Bruins with 14 points on 5 of 9 shooting and 3 of 4 from the free throw line. Tyler Bilodeau had 6 rebounds, all on the defensive end. And Donovan Dent had 4 assists, 5 turnovers, and 33 minutes of play. Wolverines demolished and absolutely dominated this game. They shot 62% from the field, 65% from the free throw line, 37% from 3. while UCLA was 38 from the field, 29% from deep, 50% from the free throw line. They had 13 turnovers and 29 rebounds. Michigan had 9 turnovers and 30 rebounds. They led for 99% of the game, and their largest lead was 30. Michigan took the lead and never really looked back. Michigan took the lead at the beginning of the game, and they never surrendered it. The closest that game got was at the beginning, and Michigan absolutely ran away with it. No concerns there. And obviously, they turned the page quickly because they had another big-time matchup coming up for them on Tuesday. They took on the Purdue Boilermakers, and this game was on the road at Mackey Arena in West Lafayette, Indiana. And this was a game. This was a game. And depending on who you like as a team, this may not have been an exciting game for you. Michigan wins it 91-80, led by Elliott Cadeau, who had 17 points and 7 assists with only 4 turnovers and 34 minutes of play, shooting 6 of 12 from the field and 2 of 3 from the free throw line. Merez Johnson grabbed 11 rebounds. Meanwhile, for Purdue, Trey Kaufman-Wren was phenomenal, but just not enough. He had 27 points and 12 rebounds, 12 of 26 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. Brayden Smith had 6 assists, 3 turnovers, and 35 minutes of play. Michigan shoots 53% from the field in comparison to 39 for the Boilermakers. 57 from the three-point line for the boys in blue. Meanwhile, Purdue just 31%. Purdue did outshoot Michigan at the free throw line, 90% to 78%. But when you have 14 turnovers for Michigan, it's honestly a surprise that they were able to win this game. But I'll tell you why in just a moment. 6 turnovers for Purdue. Michigan does out-rebound them 39-31. Michigan led for 84% of this game. Their largest lead was 20. Purdue did lead for 10% of this game. 5 was their largest lead. But Michigan took a late first-half run like they have done in many games this year. Eventually had this lead above 20, and their defense is eventually what won them this game. In the end of the game, in the second half, Michigan had a response to every run that Purdue made. Purdue would make a couple good plays, 3, 4, 5 in a row, try and bring that lead back down to single digits, and then all of a sudden it's blossomed back right up to 16, 17, 18 points. Michigan had an answer every single time. They stayed composed, did not get rattled, and continued to have success all over the basketball court in a big top 10 matchup against the 7th-ranked Purdue Boilermakers. It looked like the success that everyone was expecting. So now that leads Michigan right into arguably their biggest game of the year. They're taking on the Duke Blue Devils in a neutral site game at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. Right now, the matchup predictor is giving Michigan a 48.8% chance to win, a 51.2% chance to Duke. Michigan is 2.5-point favorites, though. Negative 142 on the money line, plus 120 for Duke. 148.5 on the over-under. Duke is obviously led by Cameron Boozer in all three categories. We know the array of players who are able to help Michigan and how everything is spread out on that side of the ball for them. Both these teams have had numerous success. I mean, Duke is 24-2. They're 13-1 in the ACC. Their lone loss in conference play was to their rivals, UNC, on the road in Chapel Hill by 3. And that was courtesy of a buzzer-beating 3 in that game. So it's not like Duke has ever really been in trouble. I mean, they're coming off a 101-64 victory over Syracuse. They beat Clemson by 13. They beat Pitt by 16. They're in control of how things are going for them over on that side of things in the ACC, but they also haven't played a team as efficient as Michigan. Michigan is the best defensive team in the country. Duke is also a top 10 defensive team in the country. Michigan, a very good offensive team, but they do struggle with turnovers. Duke is a very good offensive team, but they do struggle with turnovers, and they also struggle with rebounding, offensive rebounding to be exact, and three-point shooting, things that Michigan does a very great job at taking away from teams. So Duke has their work cut out for them. Michigan has their work cut out for them. This is going to be a blockbuster game that you will get an opportunity to view later today, 6:30 p.m. on ESPN. If you're not tuned in for this, I don't know that you should be watching any college basketball. This is going to arguably be the game of the year, and Michigan has a great chance to cement themselves into one of the best teams in the country. Coming up next week as well, they have two huge matchups. They're going to take on Minnesota in what could possibly be a trap game at Chrysler Arena. The Gophers are 12-14, 5-10 in the Big Ten. Michigan has a 96.5% chance, 3.5% for Minnesota. But, I mean, Minnesota only scores 70 points a game, only gives up 68, which is actually 0.8 less than Michigan. But when Michigan scores 90 points a game, you can give up as many points as you want because teams aren't scoring 90 points against you. Michigan out-rebounds them, out-shoots them, out-assists them, blocks and steals. Or, sorry, steals are in Minnesota's favor by 0.8 once again, 6.8 to 6. Minnesota also has losses to Washington, Maryland, and Penn State, but they have wins over Minnesota or Michigan State by 3 and Oregon by a score of 17. So the work is cut out for Michigan in this game as well. They cannot overlook Minnesota looking at their next game, which we'll talk more about, because Minnesota can come in and shock them just like they did against Michigan State. Granted, that game against Michigan State was in Minnesota. So they were, you know, at home, had that crowd behind them, were able to come out with a three-point victory against a struggling Minnesota or Michigan State team as well. Michigan's not quite the same, but that's February 24th, which is going to be next Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. on BTN. But the bigger game of the week is the one on the road at currently 10th-ranked Illinois, who's got a 50.9% chance to win, a 49.1% chance for Michigan. Michigan hasn't won in Champaign, Illinois since, I believe, 2018. Illinois has won 8 straight games in a row. It's been a tough stretch for Michigan against the Fighting Illini, who are 13-3, 22-5 on the year. The only team that could catch Michigan for the regular season title. This game will be 8 p.m. on Fox, and that will be on next Friday, the 27th. Michigan scores 90, Illinois 84. Illinois has overtime losses to Wisconsin and Michigan State by 2 and 3 points respectively. They have huge wins over USC, Indiana, and Northwestern as well. Michigan obviously took care of business against everyone they have played in the recent times, but we'll see if they're going to be able to come out victorious there as well. Now that we've talked our ears off about Michigan, it's time to talk about Michigan State. We just mentioned that they're coming off the road loss to Wisconsin, and it was a tough road loss. Tough road loss. I mean, they lost this game 92-71 by 21 points, and there wasn't really a chance for Michigan State to ever really have any type of success in this game. I don't think Michigan State did not lead in this game at all. Their largest lead for Wisconsin was 24. 98%, or they led for 98% of the game. They had 38 rebounds apiece. Michigan State had 9 turnovers, just 6 for Wisconsin. Michigan State shoots 94% from the free throw line, but only 36 from the field and 30 from behind the arc. Wisconsin goes 48 from the field, 43 from behind the arc, 74% from the free throw line, and they were led by Nick Boyd, who had 29 points, 10 of 17, shooting 4 of 5 from the field. Nolan Winter had 11 rebounds. Boyd also had 4 assists and 1 turnover in 32 minutes of play. Cohen Carr led Michigan State with 19 points, 6 of 10 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. Carson Cooper with 8 rebounds. Jeremy Fears, 12 assists, 1 turnover in 32 minutes of play, but simply just not enough to avoid catastrophe on the road. But then Michigan State bounces back. They play UCLA at the Breslin Center, and they demolish them, 82-59. There was no concerns in this game whatsoever. Cohen Carr, leading scorer again with 16 points, 7-11 from the field. Jackson Kohler, 10 rebounds, 10 assists for Jeremy Fears, only 1 turnover, 33 minutes of play. Tyler Bilodeau returns to his normal fashion, 22 points on 8 of 16, 3 for 3 from the field, 6 rebounds, and then Donovan Dent, 4 assists, 4 turnovers in 29 minutes of play. Michigan State led for 90% of this game. 31 was their largest lead. 37 rebounds, 14 turnovers, 91 from the three, 52 from, or 91 from the field, 52 from three, 53 from the field. A great bounce back game, but they have their work cut out for them as well. They host Ohio State on Sunday. That's another game that they could possibly lose before they take on Purdue next Tuesday, which could be huge. Next Wednesday, excuse me, which could be huge. Huge, huge. Or next Thursday. That's 2:26 next Thursday. Big game for them. But we'll talk more about college basketball next week. But for now, it's time for us to get ready for the Pistons when we get back with more Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Here's the deal. We got to set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We got to make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. back in the mid-madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to step into the professional ranks over in the city of Detroit and get inside of Little Caesars Arena. As we know, two professional teams play ball there. We have our Red Wings, who have been doing phenomenal, but they are on a break during the Olympics, so we'll get to them in just a moment. We're going to turn our thing over to the other team that plays inside of the Little Caesars Arena, the Detroit Pistons in the NBA. And they're not just playing in the NBA. They're playing well in the NBA. They're dominating the NBA. I could not believe the things I've been seeing from the Pistons over this last couple of months. But let's start with the leaders on this squad. Cade Cunningham, 25.7 points per game, 9.7 assists, just 3.7 turnovers, shooting 46.3% from the field in 35 minutes of play. Jalen Duren has 17.7 points per game, 10.4 rebounds, shooting 63.1% from the field, all in 27.7 minutes of play. Assar Thompson, 1.9 steals, 1.4 turnovers in 25.8 minutes of play. And Isaiah Stewart, 1.7 blocks per game, 0.3 steals, 5.1 rebounds. The team averages 117.4 points per game, 45.6 rebounds, and 26.7 assists. All of those are among the top in the league. They have continued to show resolve over the last couple of years. So 2021-2022, they're 23-59 for a 0.280 win percentage. 2022-2023, 17-65 for 0.207. Then they reached a rock bottom in 23-24, 14-68 for 0.171 win percentage. Things got better last year. They ended 44-38, which was good for sixth in the East with a 0.537 win percentage. And this year, they're about to surpass that mark just over the halfway point in the season. They are 41-33 with a 0.759 win percentage already this season. When we take a look at the standings in the NBA, we'll first take a look at the Eastern Conference. You already know where the Pistons are in the Eastern Conference. They're at the top with that 41-13 record. The Celtics are in second, 5.5 games back, 36-19. The Knicks are tied with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're both 35-21 for 7 games behind our Eastern Conference leading Detroit Pistons. The Toronto Raptors, 9 games back at 33-23. The 76ers, 30-25, 11.5 games back. That rounds out your top six. Those teams are firmly in the playoffs. 29-25, 12 games back are the Magic. 13 games back, 29-27 are the Miami Heat. And then 15.5 games at 27-30 are the Atlanta Hawks. And the Charlotte Hornets are 26-30, 16 games behind the Pistons. Those are your 7 through 10 who are going to be playing in the play-in as of now. When we take a look at the league as a whole, the Detroit Pistons are still sitting atop of the NBA. They're technically tied with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have played two more games than they have. The Oklahoma City Thunder are 42-14, which gives them a total of 56 games. Meanwhile, the Pistons are 41-13, giving them a total of 54 games. So they have a couple more games to play to catch up to the Thunder, but they're currently both tied for that top spot in the entire NBA. Meanwhile, sitting 2.5 games back are the Spurs, 39-16, who we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show during our picks, most importantly, because these two teams have a huge matchup coming up in early next week that we want to get into and talk about. The Celtics, 36-19 at 5.5 games back, and then tied at 7 games back. You have four teams to round out that top five. 34-20 are the Rockets, 35-21 are the Knicks, Cavs, and Nuggets. So what has been happening in the land of Detroit? Well, first we want to talk about the All-Star game, where Cade Cunningham was phenomenal. He went out and did his thing. Jalen Duren also played very well and was able to, go out and have some fun. The boys had fun. JB Bickerstaff had fun. And their team, the team that those three guys played on, well, the two guys played on and then JB Bickerstaff coached, ended up winning the new mini game version of the All-Star game. You know, there was a world team and then two USA teams. and the USA team that had Jalen Duren and Cade Cunningham on it, which was coached by J.B. Bickerstaff, found its way into the championship and was able to win it. So great job by the boys representing the Detroit Pistons. And there's a reason that they were all stars. There's a reason Coach Bickerstaff was chosen to coach one of the teams, and they went out there and proved it. And then they turned around once they got back into the season, which is now restarted after the All-Star break, and proved once again why they're one of the top teams in the league. Going into the break, they were coming off a win at Toronto, 113-95, where Cade Cunningham went for 28-9 on Wednesday the 11th. An entire week and a day later, Thursday, February 19th, the Pistons were one of the teams to open things back up for the NBA as they got back started on Thursday. They were on the road at the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, and you bet your top dollar the Pistons went in and handled business again, because you know the Pistons won again. Come on now, talk to me. Cunningham goes for 42-13. How did it go down? Well, he only had 5 turnovers in 38 minutes of play. He shot 17-34 from the field, 3-for-3 from the free throw line. Meanwhile, for the Knicks, Jalen Brunson did everything he could to make this a star-studded matchup. He goes for 33-8, 12-of-20 from the field, 6-for-6 from the free throw line. Only 6 turnovers in 38 minutes of play. Karl Anthony Towns had 11 rebounds. Pistons shoot 52 from the field, 85% from the free throw line, 43 from deep. Meanwhile, the Knicks were 47 from the field, 75 from the charity stripe, and just 23% from behind the arc. Pistons had 15 turnovers in comparison to just 12 for the Knicks. Pistons did out-rebound the Knicks 44-38. Pistons led for 86% of their game, just 14% for the Knicks. 19-point lead, the largest for the Pistons. The Knicks had a 7-point lead. Pistons once again walked into their trap and took over their trap. That simple. I mean, the first two games were at Little Caesars Arena. The first one was on the 5th of January. Pistons won 121-90. Then they came back. They played again on February 6th at Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons won 118-80. And then this one was for the sweep. They took them down 126-111, a 15-point victory on the road at Madison Square Garden. You can't tell me the Pistons didn't remember that playoff series, and they didn't hold it tight to their heart, and they didn't want to demolish the Knicks every single time they played them. They led by 19 at one point in this game. Cade Cunningham goes for 42-13. This is their first game out of the All-Star break, and they had to sit Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart, who are still on suspension from their scuffle with the Charlotte Hornets. So this team is astronomically better than the Pistons teams we have seen over the last couple of years, and they're continuing to prove it week in and week out, game in and game out, whether regardless of who's on the floor. It does not matter who's active for the game. We've seen Cade Cunningham sit out. We've seen Oscar Thompson sit out. We've seen Tobias Harris sit out. We've seen Duncan Robinson and Caris LeVert sit out. We've seen Danis Jenkins sit out. We've seen now Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart sit out. Ron Holland has also sat out. It does not matter who's in this rotation and who isn't. When it's time to play, when the ball is in play, the Pistons are ready to hoop, and they're hooping on a consistent basis. They are excited to be back at the top of the NBA, back to be a top of the Eastern Conference and looking to make a serious playoff push. And oh, don't get me started on the man, Cade Cunningham, who's clearly making a case to be MVP this year. J.B. Bickerstaff said it best himself. If you look at the definition of the award, most valuable player, how can you look across the league anywhere else and say that Cade Cunningham isn't the most valuable player? He's playing on one of the best teams in the league, and he's doing so many things for this team that if he wasn't there, those things wouldn't get done. But it doesn't mean the Pistons can't win. We've seen the Pistons win without Cade Cunningham, but they are a far better team with Cade on the floor. It just makes total sense why he should be in the MVP conversation. Coming up for the Pistons, they have a matchup with the Chicago Bulls on the road later tonight, 8 p.m. Obviously, not a lot of concern for the Pistons going into this game. They have a 76% chance to win, 24% for Chicago. Chicago's 24-32, and they are 15-13 at home. This will be on FanDuel Sports Network for those in that want the viewing pleasure. The Pistons are 19-7 when they play away from Little Caesars Arena, so it's not like they're bad at home or on the road. Half of their losses have come on the road, and the other half at home. So they're just playing very great basketball. I don't expect that to stop against the Bulls, which the Bulls took game one in this series, 115-111, but that was like the first game of the year. Pistons still had a lot to figure out, work on their rotations and such. Now things are totally different. They played again November 12th. Pistons won by 11, 124-113. And then they played again on January 7th. The Pistons won by 15, 108-93. They're going to look to complete the gentleman's sweep of the season series 3-1 when they take on the Bulls later today. That will end their road trip before they come home to take on the San Antonio Spurs, which I mentioned I won't talk a lot about because that's going to come up later on in the show. Then they have the Oklahoma City Thunder the following day, or 2 days later on Wednesday. They'll be coming into town as well, which that's going to be a matchup between the top two teams in the NBA. Everybody has their eyes on that game. Absolutely everybody. At the current moment, OKC has a 41.4% chance to win. The Pistons a 58.6% chance. But we'll see who is out and who is not when that game comes around. There are a couple guys that people are worried about. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Isaiah Stewart still out on his suspension. Jalen Williams is out as well for the Thunder. So that's something to talk about. And then they will play Cleveland next Friday in another home game. Both Oklahoma City Thunder and Cleveland will be on ESPN. San Antonio will be on Peacock. We're going to be back after the break to talk about our Detroit Red Wings and the Olympics when we get you more Mid-Madness here on 95.3.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What, the job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Imagine a disease that affects more than 10 million Americans, yet few know its name. I'm talking about lymphedema, LE. Many people, like my mom, get it as a result of cancer treatment and afterwards face a lifetime of swelling and pain. The cruel irony is many times its severity can be lessened only if you learn about it and act in advance. If you're at risk, ask your doctor about lymphedema. Take this as your chance to learn and live. Learn more at lymphaticnetwork.org.
Welcome back into Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. We're about to get ready to talk about the other team that plays inside of Little Caesars Arena, the Red Wings. But before we do that, we want to talk a little bit about the Olympics because there are some Red Wings involved in the Olympics, but also some other very notable Michigan athletes that we want to talk about. Ice hockey is where we will start. Things were crazy for the United States women's team, who was 4-0 in their round-robin play. And then eventually they ended up in the gold medal game against, yes, you guessed it, Canada. Because why wouldn't they be in the gold medal game against Canada? But if you didn't know how this one turned out, Michigan won. Michigan. The United States won the gold medal for women's hockey at the Milano Cortina Olympic Games. 2-1 over Canada in overtime. Now, why is this such a big deal for those of us in Michigan? Well, there is one player on their team, a very specific player, who won the game for them. Number 5, Megan Keller, a defenseman for the United States women's hockey team. Do you know where she was born, where she was raised, where she got her start playing hockey? Yeah, you guessed it, right inside the Mitten State here in Michigan. Michigan has continued to lead the pack for Olympic hockey this year. Olympic hockey has basically been on the backs of athletes from the state of Michigan. Megan Keller sends United States women's team to glory to grab the gold with an overtime winner all on her own. She deked the defender and then was able to put it five hole on Anne Renee Desbeans, the goalie for Canada, who had 33 saves or 33 shot attempts, saw 33 shot attempts, had 31 saves, but ultimately gave up those two goals. Meanwhile, Erin Frankel had a fantastic game for United States women. She saw 31 shots and saved 30 of them for that one goal that she gave up, which was to Kristen O'Neill. It was shorthanded assist from Laura Stacey and Renata Faust, which made the game 1-0. In the second period, United States with their backs to the wall. Then they got a goal from Hillary Knight with an assist from Layla Edwards. And yes, you guessed it, Megan Keller, who grabbed her sixth assist of the Olympic Games. That was early in the third period to tie the game up. No scoring for the rest of the game until we get to overtime. Taylor Heiss assists Megan Keller, who then did the rest all on her own and then sent amazing, amazing vibes to everyone in America that was watching that game as we took down Canada in what they call their sport. So, of course, we wanted to have those bragging rights. In other news, Alyssa Liu won women's singles for figure skating, 226.79 to grab another gold medal for America. Jordan Stolz has the men's 1500 speed skating silver medal, as China Ning Zonggan has the Olympic record at 41.98 seconds. I mean, that is just phenomenal when you think about the timing there. But United States grabbing a couple of medals there in that competition on Thursday. A couple big matchups coming as the United States will take on Slovakia in men's ice hockey on Friday, and then they'll be looking to win that game against Slovakia to face the winner of Canada and Finland, who, as I'm recording this, is currently losing. Canada's losing 2-1 to Finland in this matchup. And I don't know really what to say about that other than Finland has came out to play and they're looking to make a push. So we'll keep an eye on that and see if United States and Canada will be the ones going to battle on Sunday in the gold medal game, or if they will be maybe playing each other in the bronze medal game, or they'll be playing different opponents in different games. We'll find out soon when we look at the medal leaders. Norway, the Norwegians do everything great when it comes to the Winter Olympics. They have 17 gold, 9 silver, 10 bronze. United States is in second with 27. They have 9 gold, 12 silver, and 6 bronze. And then you have Italy right behind them with 26, 9 gold, 5 silver, and 12 bronze. So United States is trying to make that push to get up to Norway, but it seems like Norway will most likely run away with this one. But then talking about the United States men's hockey team before we get into the Red Wings and what they have coming up. The United States has been also led by the state of Michigan. Connor Hellenbuck, the starting goalie for United States men's hockey team, is from Commerce Township. He went to UMass Lowell, but he has been absolutely fantastic in net for the United States. Going to try and pull up his stats here if that is going to be possible. Looks like we have to look at every single one of their games here in this Olympics to check out his scoring, so or how well he has been in the box score in between the pipes. In their first game against Latvia, he saw 18 shots, saved 17 of them, gave up one goal in the first period. Then their next game was against Denmark. Jeremy Swayman was in net for this game. Swayman saw 21 shots, saved 18 of them, gave up three. But the United States scored 6 goals in that game, so there's nothing to really worry about there. The next matchup was against Germany, 5-1. They put Hellenbuck back in net. He sees 24 shots, saves 23 of them, gives up one. And then the most recent game was against Sweden. This was in the quarterfinal. They did have Hellebuck in net. He sees 29 shots, saves 28 of them, and once again only gives up one goal. So he's only given up three goals the entire tournament and is saved at an absolutely astronomical rate. And then the two goals for the United States in this game against Sweden that sent them on to the semis were scored by defenseman Quinn Hughes, who is from, you guessed it, Novi, Michigan, and then went to the University of Michigan. So, yes, please. Then you have Dylan Larkin, who also scored a goal in this game. And, yes, you bet it. He's also from the state of Michigan, and he also went to the University of Michigan, but he also plays for none other than your Detroit Red Wings. So he has done a phenomenal job in helping this team get to where they are now. This final was an OT victory. Quinn Hughes was the one that sent it home in OT. Dylan Larkin scored in the second quarter. Jack Hughes and Quinn Hughes, both from Michigan, assisted his goal. Lucas Raymond, another Red Wing, got an assist on the Zabanaj goal for Sweden. And then here comes Matt Boldy and Austin Matthews assisting Quinn Hughes in overtime to give United States the victory and send them on to the semis. We'll check back in with the Olympics again next week, but the Red Wings are also going to get back in action next week as DeBrincat and Raymond try and get back into action and keep up their ways. DeBrincat has 30 goals in the season. Raymond has 41 assists with 60 points. DeBrincat has 11 power play goals on 205 shots. Lucas Raymond has a plus minus of 10. He has 17 power play assists. He has 19 goals on the year to give him his 60 points. The team averages 2.97 goals for and goals against. That's 12th best in the league for goals against. Their power play 23.1% for 9th in the league and 79.6% on that penalty kill for 15th in the league. They are still sitting in third behind Tampa Bay and Montreal in the Atlantic Division. Taking a look at what they have coming up when they come out of the break. Their next game will be on Thursday, so we have some time before they get started again. That will be on the road at Ottawa. Ottawa is 28-22-7, 14-10-4 at home. This is a matchup that the Red Wings have had success in this year. 5-3 way back on January 5th, and then they won an overtime 4-3 on January 18th. They're going to look to try and sweep the Senators as well, but that is what the Red Wings have coming up. Obviously, it's mostly about the Olympics at this moment, and we're going to continue to wish good luck to the Red Wings playing on the United States teams as we try and get another gold medal out of these Olympics. We'll be back after the break to get into our picks with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Tick.
Learning.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into one of my favorite parts of the show. It's the picks. Of course, we always like to see who has the ball knowledge around here. Do you know ball? Well, I think I know ball. And the question is, do you know ball better than I do? You can play along with the picks every single week using the chat feature in the Ticket app. All you have to do is listen for our picks. Right? What games are going to be coming up? You can listen to me do my research and deliberation. Listen to the picks I give and the reasonings that I give behind them and why I think they will do so well. And then you have the opportunity to do your own research, your own deliberation, and make your own picks on why you think things will go the way that they will go. And then you can submit those picks into the 95.3 The Ticket app, and boom, we'll see if you know ball better than I do. As we know, Jacob could not beat me. I was 2-0-1. We had one tie, but boy, those two dubs, they felt great. And I think I could get a few dubs against you folks out there. But the question is, do any of you know ball better than I do? Give it a run over on the 95.3 The Ticket app and let us know if you know ball or not by submitting your picks. Last week, some of you may have jumped ahead of your boy because things weren't all that great for me. I went 3-3 last week. Kansas dropped to Iowa State. Arizona lost to Texas Tech. Houston loses to Iowa State. But Duke comes up big against Clemson. Florida handles Kentucky. And Michigan does what Michigan does against Purdue. That locks me in at 3-3 as we start this new rendition of picks. And we're going to be ready to get into another. We have six more games loaded up. All of them happening on the hardwood. Five of them are going to be in the college ranks, one of them in the pro ranks. And I guess we'll start with the pro game first, and then we'll get into the college games. Coming up on Monday, February 23rd, 7 p.m. on Peacock, and I believe NBC. No, Peacock and FanDuel Sports here in Detroit. The San Antonio Spurs are making their way to Little Caesars Arena at 39-16, 18-10, third in the entire NBA behind, yes, the Detroit Pistons and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Pistons 41-13, 21-6 at home, 57.3% chance for Detroit, 42.7% chance for the Spurs. The Spurs are led by none other than Victor Wembanyama. He's got 24.2 points per game on 51% shooting and 81.2% from the free throw line. He's also got 11.1 rebounds per game. And then Stephon Castle has 6.9 assists, 3.4 turnovers in 30 minutes of play. Mason Plumlee is a game time decision, as it's not injury related. Lindy Waters III is a game time decision as well with a knee injury, and Isaiah Stewart will be out in that suspension. He's expected to return on March 3rd. The Spurs have two wins over Dallas, a win over the Lakers, Golden State, and Phoenix in their last five. The Pistons, they have that lone loss to Washington back on the 5th. That's looming large. But they have two wins over the Knicks. They beat Charlotte and Toronto as well. Pistons returning home for this game, getting back into the home stretch after a lengthy road trip. They're just about even in basically every metric here. Some sway one way or the other. Pistons have more blocks and steals. They're literally identical for assists. The Spurs grab one more rebound. Pistons give up two less points than the Spurs do, but the Spurs score one more point than the Pistons do. They both shoot 48% from the field. This is about as even as a game as you can get, but I think the only difference that makes it uneven is that the Pistons are not traveling and they're playing this game at home in Little Caesars Arena, where they're not only comfortable, but they have been playing fantastic basketball this year. 21-6, yeah, you might as well make it 22-6, at least in my opinion. I'm not going against the red hot Pistons right now. They're playing phenomenal basketball and have been all season long. Do I think this will be a tough matchup? Do I think this will be one of the better teams they play? Absolutely. But I do not think it's enough for me to pick against the Pistons. This is their first matchup against the Spurs. The second one will take place on Thursday, May 5th. So that will be a different matchup, as Isaiah Stewart, Jalen Duren, and company will be back as well. So we'll keep an eye on that matchup in a couple of weeks. But I'm taking the Pistons to win this one. That's going to get us over into the hardwood in the college ranks. The fourth-ranked Arizona Wildcats are 24-2, 11-2 in the Big 12. This game, later today, 3 p.m. on ABC. They're taking on the second-ranked Houston Cougars, 23-3, 11-2 in the Big 12. Houston has a 64.1% chance, 35.9% chance for Arizona. 5.5-point favorites are the Cougars, -238 on the money line, +195 for Arizona, 139.5 on the over-under. This game is extremely intriguing. It's at the Fertitta Center in Houston, Texas. This game, Keyson Flemings versus Braden Berries. Tobe Owaka down low, holding things down against Chris Sinak Jr. This is going to be a very good game. Arizona scores at a high rate, but the last couple of weeks have been interesting for them. They had a great victory over BYU, but they lost in overtime by 3 to Tennessee or Texas Tech at home, and then they lost on the road to Arizona to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. But they also have wins over Oklahoma State and Arizona State. Houston has another loss in their most recent games at Iowa State by 3 on the road. But then they do have victories on the road against BYU and Utah, and then at home against Kansas State and UCF. With this game being at home, I want to choose Arizona. I think that they're going to get back in the winning ways, especially after the game they had against BYU at home. But Houston plays very well when they're at home. There's a reason that they've had so much success inside the Big 12. There's a reason that they're the second-ranked team in the country. I do think Arizona is very good. They were number one team in the country for a reason, but they've been on a skid recently against great teams in the Big 12, and this is another great game. And I think Houston is going to be able to come out on top and secure a home victory. Speaking of Iowa State and BYU, they're going to be in action as well. This is 10:30 p.m. later today. Sixth-ranked Iowa State Cyclones, 23-3, 10-3 in the Big 12, taking on BYU, 19-7, 7-6 in the Big 12. BYU's 23rd in the country, 55.1% chance for Iowa State, 44.4 for BYU. This game is at the Marriott Center in Provo, Utah. 3.5-point favorites are the Cyclones, -185 on the money line, +154 for BYU, 155.5 on the over-under. We have talked about both of these teams already before. The things that pop out is that BYU has three losses in their last couple of games to Houston, Oklahoma State, Arizona, which are all right on the ranks of Iowa State. Iowa State, in fact, has beaten Houston and Kansas already while taking down Baylor and Kansas State in their last three. They lost to TCU 62-55. But BYU's most recent victories, 90-86 over Colorado in overtime and then 99-94 over Baylor, who are both struggling in the Big 12. Baylor is 3-10 in the Big 12, and Colorado's 4-9. That's not good. Those are not teams you want to be competitive against when you're looking to make a push into the NCAA tournament and possibly have a top-ranked player on your team in the NBA draft prospects. But that's where BYU finds itself, and that makes it pretty easy for me to take Iowa State to win this game and come out with a road victory against BYU at the Marriott Center. Going over to the ACC, this game will be on Monday, February 23rd, 7 p.m. on ESPN. The 21st-ranked Louisville Cardinals, 19-7, 8-5 in the ACC, taking on the 16th-ranked North Carolina Tar Heels, who are 20-6 and 8-5 in the ACC. 38.9% for UNC, 61.1% for Louisville, even though this game is at the Dean E. Smith Center in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Caleb Wilson is possibly going to be back for this game, maybe not. I don't think that he is going to be cleared for this game, and I think that is a huge margin for this. Louisville's last loss was most recently to SMU, 95-85. They have wins over Baylor, North Carolina State, Wake Forest, and Notre Dame in their last five as well. North Carolina lost to North Carolina State. They lost to Miami. They beat Duke, Syracuse, and Pitt in their last five. With Caleb Wilson not playing in this game and him leading them with points and rebounds coming into this game, there's a reason why that 38.9% chance is there for North Carolina while they're at home. They've been struggling against fairly decent teams. Louisville is a fairly decent team. I have to take Louisville to win a game on the road that, honestly, many people probably feel they shouldn't be able to win, but it's going to be theirs to lose, in my opinion. So I've got Louisville coming out with a victory. That gets us over to another game on Monday, 9 p.m. ESPN, the second-ranked Houston Cougars going against those Kansas Jayhawks, who are currently eighth-ranked in the country. These rankings might change by Monday. We've talked about both of these teams as well. This game will be at Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, Kansas. Kansas's lone loss in their last five is to Iowa State. They beat Oklahoma State, Arizona, Utah, and Texas Tech. Houston, on the other hand, has also lost to Iowa State by three. They beat Utah, BYU, UCF, and Kansas State in their last five as well. Two very similar teams, but there's one team that's a little bit better than the other, and that's Houston. Houston's tied for the top of the Big 12. They're going to look to get that top seed against Houston over the weekend, or against Arizona over the weekend, and they may be coming into this game at a chance to lock up the Big 12 title, or at least keep themselves in that lead over Arizona with the current one-game lead they would have if they were to beat them. So this is a huge game for them, and one that I think Houston will be able to take control of. That has me taking Houston 2-0 on the weekend, which is insane, but very, very plausible for the number two team in the country, as they will be on the road for this game. A 57.8% chance for Houston, a 42.2% chance for Kansas. I really like this matchup, but I do think Houston will have the momentum on their side. They get over into the last game of the weekend. It is a neutral site game and arguably not only the game of the weekend, but the game of the year. The number one ranked Michigan Wolverines, who are 25-1, will take on the number three ranked Duke Blue Devils, who are 24-2. This game will be later today, 6:30 p.m. on ESPN. Michigan has a 48.8% chance, 51.2% chance for Duke. We've talked about both these teams a numerous amount of times. Michigan, the 2.5-point favorite, -142 on the money line, +120 for Duke, 148.5 on the over-under. It's neutral site, Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. They are Michigan 5-0 in their last five. Wins over Purdue, UCLA, Northwestern, OSU, Ohio State, that is, and Penn State. Meanwhile, Duke has wins over Syracuse, Clemson, Pittsburgh, and Boston College while losing to North Carolina. As I always say, you're crazy if you think I'm picking against Michigan, and this game is no different. The Edward Jones Capital Showcase should go to Michigan and is a great boost for their resume, but also should make them a number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament and make their work cut out for them to get into the national championship, Final Four, and possibly bring that thing home. That gives me Michigan, Houston, Iowa State, Louisville, Houston, and the Pistons for this week. Don't forget to submit those picks, and we'll be back talking about more things in the sports world and Mitten Madness next week here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.